that's the first thing, yeah. First time definitely in Aberdeen, and when one thing goes to Aberdeen, maybe even less time, but I hope not, anyway. So, I will kind of will continue where the previous lecture stopped, and as Caroline already introduced, okay, first of all, as you know, I'm the member of curatorial group Redmine, and curatorial group Redmine consists out of we are four women, and of course, each of us puts what is it special for each of us in the framework of Redmine is that each of us four can, on different situations, or let's say space and time, so different in various processes of work, appropriate the group Redmine according to her ideas. And this means that this process kind of work in two directions. So each of us kind of appropriate the content the content of the Redmine up until what we have done till today, and each of us kind of have different input in kind of the group outcome. So why is this? Why would that be not something like natural, like how the old group works? Why would that be something special, or at least something special for us? Like all of us worked in various collaborative groups before, and what it happened. We always, like, each of us stumbled at some point on situations that expectations didn't meet, expectations didn't meet the how to say, the what either us wanted, me personally, or the other side wanted. So it was always like, as we know in collaboration, many times happened, oh, you should do this and that. So, and before, now I continue with that, like, also before, we always thought that collaboration is like only a commodity. I think it's really important now to think of things at within the multidimensional context. What does that mean? This means that nothing is just one-dimensional, so none of the things is just good. We always have to think also of the traps of each like phenomena that we kind of praise. So, because when I started to work in the 90s, we really praised the collaboration. Then I was so disappointed with many collaborations I ended up that I realized there must be something wrong that we just praise collaboration. So what I figured out is that for me, collaboration is not a commodity, but is a challenge. So how we, and then when you think collaboration is a challenge, then from the start you have your step is different. You don't step it inside like in a luxury, but you step inside of collaboration that you know it is a challenge. So it makes things easier. And with the same, just to give one more example that is not directly connected with that, but this how each of us deals on private level is like with monogamy and polygamy. Like today, monogamy is thought of a norm, and polygamy as something, you know, like I don't know, a deviant or a natural way of thinking, different. But then we all kind of. Then on a personal level, many times we again kind of face. Face the problem because of this wrong or not appropriate consideration. So what I'm saying to myself, like how do I explain this? Monogamy is a luxury, polygamy is a norm. So it's just turn around and then everything like makes it much simpler. This was a bit detour. Uh-huh. Okay. And so with the Redmine for all four of us was really feel safe in this collaboration, which means that we are really strict with the expectations from one another, and it's a really strict rule. This is like the background of it. You can't see that in our webpage, or you can't see that on the events that we organize. But this is like dynamic within the group. It's really important that no matter how much you can do for the group, a priori belief that you did your best. You know, there is no such thing that one can say to another, oh, you should do this in that way. There is always this a priori statement that each of us did her best. And that's why it's kind of really, we all four feel really a kind of a safe zone, and not any, like, so to say, we are really with this kind of strategy, we are avoiding a lot of stress, you know, possibly this is how we think. And because, of course, it's also the group that each four of us, actually, we are not divided, you know, one does this, one does that, although we come from different kind of field of interest, it's not like division, you do this, you do that, but kind of in different situations, so we all work on the concept, and then we all work like also on execution, so to say, of the concept, but it depends on time and space and on this. And now to go back where the previous lecture finished. So I think, okay, we are all thinking of now, and then we are, of course, all we are, and to speak from the family's perspective, what we can observe in present, I definitely think the patriarchy is over. I definitely think the value system is so disintegrated that actually already the time of apocalypse is already here. And if the time of apocalypse is already here, no ideology, not even patriarchy, doesn't have any more real power. But on the other hand, like statistic, and then we end up again with multidimensional thinking, so at the same time patriarchy is over, but at the same time patriarchy is also somehow not over. And so where is it not over, if you ask me? So the statistics and women participative actions or like statistics, it's still, you still can observe the lack of women participation in example on power positions, in strict power positions. A lot of women, we are in kind of organizing fields or in special branches, women are in power, but in general, in somewhere the capital is going on or where the real capital is about, there is still less lack of women participation. But for this situation, I think this is actually our opportunity, not our disadvantage. Because for today, it doesn't make sense to participate in institutions as we see them around. The only thing what makes sense is to build institutions, structures, everything from the scratch on totally different, at least opposite way of the way we know. Because the way we know is patriarchal model. So, how we should build it, and what should we do from the scratch? If you don't know the other way, just at least do it oppositely.
Yeah.
So actually, I think this is the advantage. So also in the red mind actions, or in the red mind when we have public events, this is how we try to work. You know, like. And of course we fail, not fail, but this is like failure is anyway, you know, it's part of the things, it what makes it real life, you know, otherwise we can all end up like robots and all that. So with failure you avoid just to think of it like an affirmative, you realize it, you don't say it's good for something, you definitely say what can be, you know, you have to analyze it, all the failures. But in general, what we are trying to do is like this building from scratch, even if it's in the context now of just another exhibition, even if it's in the context of one festival events, whatever, but we try to kind of build these spaces, the space that from where the scratch can be positioned, from there we try to build it differently. So it's not about representation, but it's about building the spaces of for transformative potential, so we say. So for example, if we are invited to an exhibition or if we are invited to curate the exhibition, we say, okay, let's do it like few days. We all want to be there all the time in the space. We don't want this opening or closing event. We want there's for some process to a specific process to be going on. For example, and also within that, we also trigger this hyperproduction issue, you know, and like I think all the problem actually is not that people work too little or whatever. I think every one of us work too much, you know. I think even the protests and, you know, the capitalism are still going on because we have this need to work, you know. If we would all stop and sleep for a while, capitalism would be over immediately, you know. So, but of course, and that's why also it is very ridiculous. Guys, I have a lot of problems with kind of Marxist theories and all that, because for me it's very ridiculous that work is still on the market. For me, like, work doesn't belong to the market. I don't have the other idea yet what to put on the market, but definitely I know we live in work on the market, you know, we need just some distributive agency, because we don't live in the world of scarcity, but we live in the world of abundance. But just like how it is all distributed, that's wrong. So, you know, for me, that work is still on the market means like sleeping with me on the market, you know. Like, okay, if I work so much, I got paid, I sleep, I should also get paid. So, like, that's, you know, the work could be on the market when there are still so many things to do, but now when all things are done and where we are, you know, trashed with everything, it's time to, like, you know, start working and distribute what we have and stop, you know. So all that, so of course with the Red Mind and our events, we are also trying to trigger that, and how then we have different methods how we trigger that. So that's why all our events, you know, we don't, we try not to invent ourselves each time in a new way. We try to kind of really develop a certain way of thinking through our events. So if you go from what we have started and to our last event, it was always like you can really follow the story. That also through the words that I'm saying now, they are also, you know, we always call our event Living Archive. And, you know, it's always about the thinking line, the certain paradigm that we are kind of developing through different editions. This is how we call our events. And they are really of very different scales, but they are always called the edition. So either we had a really small event, it was the first edition, or it was a really big event, like in Belgrade, that was on October 7, that was a really big exhibition, and we also called it edition. So, and then the next thing that is really also important is, if now I was talking about now, and about creating safe spaces between us and between also the people we invite with this, trying to build transformative spaces. Which method we also use for this, and which is not our criteria, is definitely not the the quality per se, you know, this is like, so our criteria for selecting, or because you end up in selection, the selection happens in both ways, they select us, we select them, artists select us, we select us, whatever, but this selection, for us, the most important criteria is friendship. Because friendship is the only thing that is not yet regulated, and it's the only human interrelation that is not put under regulations. All the rest, like between two women, woman and a man, between child and mother, all this is regulated. So here is much less. You always already have this trouble with these regulations, that is, you know, regulation means against some repressive things, some society expectations, already cultural, but the friendship is still, I consider, and that's why I think it's a powerful political tool, because it's just a thing that is actually not regulated yet. So the friendship is one of important our way of working. On really various levels, on multi levels, and then actually not to go back. Also, the way we started, and where also I think the feminism is really still the feminism as politics is still really important. It is definitely also important in apocalypse time, because it really depends how we're gonna build now some next now world and future world. But now to go actually how we also started the Red Mind and to kind of understand a bit the living archive thing, of course it's all also it's a lot about history also, because if we observe history, that so much dictates also the now and even the future. In observing the history, the situation is really disaster. Like, and then we have two things that are the two paradigm shifts that for the history are really essential. So one is to rewrite history in terms of, you know, I still so many friends I ask about women writers, about. Just recently, I spoke with one woman, with one composer, a young guy, totally friend with me, everything. Yeah, there can't be good female composer. There is no good. But I thought there are many guys, the hidden women that were guys, Rossini, maybe we don't know that were actually women. And like he's really convinced the guy at younger age that there can't be good composer. Like, so these particular things for the history are really still massive. You know, it's actually, now it's much easier because it's apocalypse, but for history, and then goes how to read, and this is also what was our intention with Red Mind, because our intention was, you know, with certain space, it's always same even within feminism, and, you know, also as we know, Audre Lorde, she had really many issues within feminism itself, even within feminism, with certain area and with certain period, there are always same women that are represented. So this is what was our actually initial, you know, initial issue that triggered our collaboration was, beside public monuments, that there's also, you know, we won't build now the same public monuments as they have, but something there, you know, we have to figure out, you know. Beside this issue, we were interested in how, with post-Yugoslav space, there are always same women, you know, kind of identified. So this is how we started to build this also archive, and again, that's why we call it living, because our aim is not to build a perfect archive, and we know that if we don't know, you know, now we still are, for example, lacking on the web page, like the entries about artists, but because we don't have the real idea yet how we will make these entries, because we want to make it, again, on the opposite way, as we are used to, not just the biography that you can find wherever else online, we don't have it, you know, and it's not a problem, because we shouldn't be in a hurry, we shouldn't aim to perfection. You know, there is still a lot of this discourse still open and still possible to do, but it's also always the way that you can change it afterwards. That's also true. But what else I wanted to say for history, and maybe I'll also finish here my talk, that with history it will have to be rewritten, especially recently. I have a lot of really problem with all the books that are written almost, because excepting novels and art books, artistic poems, novels, because I think poetry is also today one of, I never understood poetry really, but today I really feel it, it's one of the most powerful political actually discourse that can be, because all the theoretical discourse, all the academia discourse, this is all based on the moral and value system of the age of reason, so of an Enlightenment period. And the Enlightenment period is all based on logic and reason, and this is wrong. So all the paradigms, all the theory books, all the science books, all the knowledge that we teach kids in the school, all this is based on the Enlightenment period and on the age of reason. But now we are totally post-logical reason. And if you will observe around the world, you will see there a really strong interest in cosmology, really strong interest in physics. I think after Einstein, you know, and now, because this is already 100 years old knowledge, but only now is coming kind of into general knowledge. We kind of all have this Newtonian knowledge still, but now it's the knowledge that is now, like what the human race now knows, it's totally beyond the age of reason. So all these books of history, of the biology, what is progress? Progress is not from low to high, progress is the tuning process. What is leadership? Then you can easier apply. Leadership is not a problem. We all like to lead and we all have to be led. But this is not a power position, it's a position of responsibility. Yeah. And with the same with the expert position. Expert position is not a problem either. I'm totally fine if you are expert in something, I follow you. But it's again not a position of power, but it's just a position of know what and know how, and again the responsibility position. So all this thinking, it becomes totally natural. Once you move out of age of reason and of age of enlightenment, because age of enlightenment gave this progress and gave this we are low, we are high, and the same with vegetarian. Vegetarian is also like just putting the problem where the problem actually is. It's not that we eat animals. The problem is how we care for the animals, because animals are not higher than plants. We are not higher than plants. Maybe probably plants are higher than us. They are lived much longer. So it's not probably what we eat, but how we care about these things. It's the same with tomatoes. Like you think that tomatoes are happy in Malaga, growing up in water and in plants. You know, so all these things that we think some races are or whoever is higher than the other, it's the result of age of reason. So what I'm just will conclude it, I think we will have to rewrite the history, not only in the feminist perspective, that's anyway disaster, you know, the women participation, but also in the perspective to according to this new paradigm after life, with the knowledge that we know now about the world, that with the knowledge that we now know of the physics coming from quantum and so on. So that's where I was coming from.
You were saying that you wanted to create new structures, that there was a responsibility to create new structures, but then you talked about working within the context of the exhibition,
yeah,
and doing, but still doing it differently. But the exhibition itself is something that could stand the deconstructive gaze of the reading. It's also something that's very much based on
yes.
this tradition that just says.
The tradition that just is.
So I was wondering what made you decide to still work within that structure, because you could also take the opposite approach to the completely abandoned
structure,
of course has its own
problems. As I told you, there are this, within Redman, as well, we are like so different. So, like, my role within Redman is, I still kind of have Redman for the art, kind of, you know, for the art scene, so to say. But all the rest, what I'm doing, I'm trying to definitely move on, for example, you know? But maybe not at the end, also you sometimes you also see you can't move out because you are also born with that, you know. So no matter how out I will go, I will again drop back in, you know. But this is like, I don't think it's the question either or anymore. I think the question is how to think at least two things at the same time, you know, two things. So for me, it's not a question in, out. It's I can be also in and out at the same time, you know.
Maybe more about the contextualizing your position in the specific fragment.
Yeah, it's always.
Like, you know, even if you're like drawing to the, let's say, exhibition space, for example, you're very well aware where you are positioned
at
this very moment, and then you try to just expand the borders.
Also, at different situations, you can do, you know, you can. At a different situation, in different art contexts, you can, these elements that are important for us as Redmans have a different morphology, you know? So with the October Salon, this big exhibition, this was just like just a classical exhibition, nothing special, you know? But with the difference that there were 90% of women, you know? And maybe this was enough for that it happened for the first time, you know?
I don't know whether it's helpful, but I find that terrifically exciting and helpful your contribution to me. Don't know whether getting back to your question about what about the construct of the exhibition as being something that appears not to be being challenged, maybe in the way that. I think your point now is really about holding the two things simultaneously, and it occurs to me that, say, in the women's library, for example, I feel that something is happening analogous there, because in a normal library setting, it's absolutely an enlightenment construct, the idea of the library, about there being some dual, you know, who developed the library classification system in the 19th century, believe that there could be this enlightenment structuring of all knowledge based on classifications that instilled patriarchal and capitalist and other structures in place. In a women's library, we're not saying we're endorsing that. What we're saying is women can bring in the text, they can ignore the texts that are meaningless to them, and most of them tend to be crap. They will bring in the things that they think are meaningful to them and have had an impact. But secondly, when we finally got a librarian in, because it was an entirely anarchic library for 10 years without any librarians, it was perversely a library for that period of time. When a librarian came, it had to be the right person, a woman who person comes in. But she agrees that it is inappropriate to use Dewey for a feminist library. So we start finding out about European, Japanese, Indian women's libraries who have developed their own classification systems, which do not fix anything. The classification system that we use is a Glasgow feminist classification system. And it means it does two things. On the one hand, it allows people to find things, because that's helpful.
Yeah.
I concede that point. But secondly, the classification system is local. It reflects the interests of the group of women, they don't need to be geographically local, but are the culture of interest for them. Again, you need to have Virgo rising to get this. It's very, very interesting. So I just wanted to say that because I think that it's an analogous to the idea that, okay, exhibition, there's still some scope in that. But let's see what we can do to actually develop that in a new way, with a new vernacular. So, and the ownership is different, you know. So there's nobody saying these the books will have them, and these the books will not have them.
Seeing as we're in the apocalypse.